Welcome to Fire Talk Radio, teaching the unfiltered Word of God with the anointing of His Spirit, with subjects on eternity and the choices we make that determine our eternal destiny.
Hello, everyone. Welcome, welcome, welcome to Fire Talk Radio. I'm really glad you're here tonight. If I have to cut to a song really quick, it's because there's a lot of pollen in the air right now. And they say if you don't have any problems with allergies and things like that, then just wait a little while. And it's very thick, the pollen is. And took a walk earlier, and so forgive me if my throat is a little bit scratchy maybe, or if I cut to a song, you know why. But I'm delighted to be with you tonight, and I'm glad that you're here with me. I'm going to be continuing my series, part 4 of The Believer's Authority, or The Authority of the Believer, The Authority of the Believer, part 4. And I'm going to be continuing that. I did not do the show last Saturday. I had to put my cat to sleep. She was very sick, and so I was a wreck, and I was in no condition to do a show. So forgive me for that. I just wanted to let you know I was not here with you last week. So also, actually, I was looking on here. I have a friend of mine that's setting up a website for me. I'm really excited about it. It's not all the way finished yet, but I will give you the link here. It's firetalkradio.com. So there's no 2 in there. You don't have to worry about any 2. It's just firetalkradio.com. And it's still in progress, just like all of us. So we are all a work in progress as well. And just like it is in progress, we are in progress. I'm excited about doing the show tonight. I'm excited about doing it, and I'm actually trying to find a link here, but while I'm trying to find a link, I'm going to play a song. I'm trying to think of which song I want to play. I have so many good choices. I don't know if you can imagine or not, but as I sit here and I try to pick a song, it's really sometimes very hard to do because I want to play them all. So they're all awesome. They're really, really awesome. And I've got one, I think, coming up I'm going to play. I might play 1, 2, or 3, but remember, if I have to cut to a song, it's because of the pollen. I'll be right back with you.
Shout!
Thank God for His peace and for His Holy Spirit. Thank God, thank God. So grateful. Two weeks ago, I want to just review just a little bit here. Not going to do the whole the whole teaching. I'll go back here and see what I want to. I think I'm just going to go over just the last few little bits of notes here. I spoke about how the Great Commission, and it's our duty as Christians to witness to people. Excuse me, I told you it's that pollen. But it's our duty as Christians to witness to people and to lead them to Jesus, to pray for them, and to have God use us, the Holy Spirit, to use us to set them free, get them delivered, healed, raise the dead. And also speak, all authority has been given to me and to you to go. In the same authority of God and to walk in that authority. Excuse me. And my position today is number one, I have authority in earth. Number two, Christ restored my authority over Satan. Number three, Jesus gave me authority over sin and its effects. So if you have Jesus in your heart, you have that authority too. You have authority in the earth over Satan and over sin and its effects. When there are symptoms of sickness in your body or in somebody else's body, just take authority over them. Take authority over those sicknesses. Remember when in the Bible it talks about Jesus at Peter, I think it was his mother-in-law, and she was, I can double-check that, so I'm not just saying I think, but she was sick with a fever, and so Jesus just rebuked the fever. He took authority over that fever. He rebuked it. And he used his authority, and so the fever left, and then she was completely fine. And then she was able to minister to them. She waited on them, and she took care of them, and she was able to listen to the words of Jesus and be in his company, and that's a beautiful, beautiful thing, to be in the presence of the Holy Spirit, to be in the presence of his word, to be with him in his glory. His presence is a wonderful, wonderful, beautiful, beautiful thing. And I was going to look that up on Google. You know, it seems like you can put in any sentence. It was mother-in-law. So I was looking, that's actually, why don't we just go turn to Matthew 8:14. Over here, Matthew 8:14. When Jesus came into Peter's home, he saw his mother-in-law, so it was his mother-in-law, lying sick in bed with a fever. He touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she got up and waited on him. But I know that in some versions of the Bible, I believe it says he rebuked the fever. So that it was his mother-in-law. Now, going back to my notes here. So I just want to, because I want to recap, because I know it's been 2 weeks. So let's see here. Right. Basically, as I was saying, yeah, taking authority over, you know, if we have symptoms in our body or somebody else's, just take authority over it. And because we can lay hands on the sick, we can lay hands on ourselves as well. I mean, laying hands on somebody else, believers can lay hands on the sick. If we have a symptom in our body, lay hands on it. And keep speaking. Like, I have to keep speaking to my scratchy throat because it's irritated because the pollen is the highest, is on the highest level that pollen can be. At least I think it is. It's out there walking, and I kid you not, you see these little, they're almost like little tiny pieces of cotton floating in the air as you're walking. If it's breezy, they're just coming at you. I didn't see as many of them today, but when it first started with the pollen, my goodness, there wasn't just a couple. It was like a whole bunch. So with the irritation caused by that pollen in me, then I need to keep for the scratchy throat, I need to keep speaking to it and bind the symptoms. And actually, we have the authority to even speak to the allergy of pollen and just tell it, you know, just make it, just speak it. If I speak to myself and say, I'm no longer allergic to pollen, and then just keep speaking life over myself, and then we're going to be fine. And that actually was, that's pretty cool, because that was actually my next little sentence there on my notes. Speak life over ourselves and over other people. It's really, really important to speak life, not just over ourselves, but also over other people. A lot of people have been raised with, oh, you're never going to amount to anything. You're good for nothing. You're just a loser. You're just like your father. You're just like your mother. You're just like your aunt or whoever. They've had death and curses spoken over them so much. I know that I heard a story of this person who their family, they had two girls and one boy. And so several times a day they would say, oh, he plays with dolls, he's got two sisters, he's going to be gay. He's going to grow up to be gay. So they kept saying this over and over and over. I heard this person saying this story that they said this for years. Well, guess what happened? That child grew up to be homosexual because the curse was spoken over them their entire life. So we need to learn to speak life over ourselves and over other people as well. We also need to learn to use wisdom by helping to maintain a healthy physical body and walk in optimum performance physically. Because if the enemy can distract you or me by the attacks that he brings, then, and you allow it to get to you, then you're not going to be effective out there. So if he can distract you by attacking your body, and even if it's a small thing, even like with me, even if it's the pollen, and I know that sometimes it makes my throat itchy and scratchy, and sometimes I might cough because my throat's irritated, or I might have a scratchy voice, and I might be thinking, well, or the enemy could be, you know, putting the thoughts in my head, and I'm thinking, Oh, well, I got a kind of scratchy voice tonight, and I may clear my throat on occasion here because of the pollen out there. People don't want to hear all that. They don't want to be irritated by that. It's irritating. And, you know, if I allow the enemy to put those thoughts in my head, and I allow that pollen that's irritating my throat to prevent me from ministering to you, from teaching to you, then he's one in that area, and he knows. He says, oh, well, if I can just get her sick in a little area or scratchy throat or a cough, then she won't do her radio show. She won't teach online. But and then if I let every little thing get to me to where I don't minister to you like I know you need to be ministered to and desire to be ministered to, and God wants you to be ministered to, then I'm not going to be effective in what God has called me to do. The same way with my cat being put to sleep. And last Saturday, obviously, but it was just a few hours. It maybe been like 5 hours before the show was due, so that's understandable. Yes, it's been a week. It's still painful, but if I allow that to stop me, I'll be real with you. Let's just be, one of my pastors, he calls it, he says, can I just be 100 with you? In other words, can I just be totally, completely, 100% real with you? So if I can be real with you, I've been tempted all day to just like, oh, forget this. I don't feel like doing it. And I'm missing my cat. I don't want to come across as sounding sad or grieving or, but in all essence, in all reality there, it's not me. I need to reach down deep inside in myself and let the Holy Ghost rise up big and minister to you, because it's not me. It's him. Does that make sense? It's him. He's the one who ministers to you. I don't. I give him my vocal cords. So I have to lay aside. I have to put aside. I have to hang my problems up put my problems up at the door, whatever that, however that saying goes. So I can't. I have to put all of those feelings aside. All of the grieving, all the mourning, all of that, I had to lay that aside. And not just the death of the cat, not just the death of my cat, but also the thoughts coming to me about with the scratchy throat, any thoughts I may have that are fiery darts from the wicked one. I had to put all my problems aside and allow God to rise up on big on the inside of me, so that you can be ministered to. I can obey the calling because it's him, it's not me. So I have to put all of that aside. So I hope that made sense. I think it did. I'm going to listen to this afterwards, and I'm going to see that it hopefully made sense. But because I'm just trying to be real with you, I want to let you know that I set this clock, or I set the time for an hour, but it may go longer, it may go shorter, hard to tell, so you never know what's going to happen with that. So we need to rise up in the authority and the power that God has given us. And that was just a little review from the last lesson. Now I'm going to start part four here. And Jesus, he had earthly authority. We're going to be talking about his earthly authority Jesus represented his Father. It says right here that Jesus acknowledged God's authority over him. In John 14:28, it reads, "You have heard me say to you, I'm going away and coming back to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice, because I said, I am going to the Father, for my Father is greater than I." Hallelujah, that's awesome. That was John 14:28. Jesus said later in scriptures, he says, "I only say and do what I see and hear my Father do." You may or may not have noticed, depending on where you're listening to this podcast from, if it's right here on Blog Talk Radio, I was looking online at pictures because I like to look online at the images and which ones I want to put up on the show for which ones, and I found a really interesting one, perfect illustration for how I was talking earlier about life and death, or in the power of the tongue. Choose your words carefully. Speak life over somebody, not curses. And I came across an amazing photo. Obviously, it was Photoshop, but it was a picture of the man, and this could be man or woman, basically. But this particular photo was of the man, and it looked like he was yelling at the woman. And in the picture, it had an arm, a man's arm, coming out of the mouth, say right up to about the elbow. So his arm was coming out, and it had a closed fist punching her in the mouth. And that was basically an illustration of his tongue. I was like, wow. So basically with him, we want to picture a guy yelling at somebody where their tongue is. There's an arm coming out with an open fist punching her in the face. And as I said, that could be a woman yelling at a kid or her husband, anything. That could be anybody who's not speaking life, who's speaking, being emotionally abusive. So I thought that was pretty powerful and perfect illustration as well. In James 3:8, it says, "But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison." We need to learn to speak when God speaks, and when he doesn't speak, not to add our own stuff. So basically, when you hear God say something, if you hear a prophetic word to give to somebody, don't add your own thought to that, your own word, your own opinion, because you want to make it sound better, or just because you want to get your 2 cents in. It's really not your word. It's God's word, and deliver it how he gives it to you. If you have if he gives it to you in your spirit with a rebuke, then deliver it how you hear in your spirit with that rebuke. If he gives it with exhortation, give the exhortation. But don't add on to it, and don't deliver it your own way. Deliver it exactly how he gave it to you, word for word. And I remember, I'm not going to mention any names because you may or may not know them. It's nobody I'm associated with now. It's nobody at my church, so I want to get that disclaimer out of the way. But I was, there was this person who, let me put it this way, I was watching online this person claim, you know, apparently, I don't know, sometimes I'm not saying, the Bible says don't despise prophecy. And I'm not saying, obviously the fivefold ministry, one of the gifts of the fivefold ministry, the ministry gifts is that of the office of the prophet. Now, because God gives you a word of prophecy to give somebody doesn't mean that you're in the office of a prophet. It means that God has given you a word for them. So, but anyway, this person walked in the office of the prophet, and they had a guest prophet come. And the guest prophet, at the end, they were done. They were through ministering. And then the resident, I guess if you want to call it the resident prophet, the person who had them as a guest, a few days later, because I think it was a few days later, was really angry at the congregation because the congregation had given, I think, three times more to that guest prophet than they normally gave to the house. So this person was really mad, and the resident prophet, the house prophet, pastor, whatever you want to, person, but he goes by prophet, and he's very upset, and he rebuked the congregation, and I forget everything he said, but the one thing that stuck out for me, and please hear my heart, I'm not judging this person at all. I'm not judging them. I'm just telling you to give you an example of, to illustrate to you and what I just told you. So that we, but anyway, I'll back up in a moment. But so they said to them, they said, if I have to make stuff up in order for you to give, then I will do it. I couldn't believe my ears. I was like, what? And he was talking so fast because he was so angry that I don't know if everybody actually caught it, but I know I caught it. And he says, I actually have to make stuff up for you, basically to pay to come back to listen. I'll do it. Right then I knew I had to stop watching, because it says, follow me as I follow Christ. If you're going to make stuff up, you're going to open yourself up to familiar spirits. Not only that, you're lying. You're saying that God said something that he did not say. You're bearing false witness, and you're saying that it opens, as I said, opens the door to familiar spirits. And then, but it's just, so I just knew I had to stop watching. I had to stop following that ministry because follow me as I follow Christ. So just like you follow me as I follow Christ, if I knew who you were and you were in my life, like I follow the pastors as the pastors of my church as they follow Christ. If they veer off course, then I need to stop following them for the sake of my eternal destiny and my soul. You know, all of that, I told you that because we need to learn to speak when God speaks what he says and what he doesn't say. We don't want to say that. We don't want to make it up like this person I was telling you about. Jesus represented himself under God's authority, even though Jesus walked as a man. He represented heaven, so he kept himself under the authority of heaven, of God, basically, because, that's for example, sometimes you'll hear, who are you under, who are you accountable to? If you go to church, what pastor, whose authority are you under? Are you under, I'm talking basically at the church here, so whose authority are you under? And then that person will tell you, and or they won't tell you, so. But, or they don't have somebody that they're under. And but Jesus was under the authority of heaven. And he walked as a man who represented heaven. At any time, he could have stepped out of that authority because he had free will. Just like when Satan tempted Jesus to turn the rock into bread, and when he took him up to the high place, the high mountain, and or the high places, and tempted him and said, "I'll give you all of these places if you bow down and worship me. I'll give you all these riches and all this power and all these I guess basically I'll find that scripture as well when I'm on a music break, because I'm going to be doing another music break shortly here. But I'm going to find that scripture. But Jesus, when he was tempted by Satan to not basically fulfill his mission here on earth with all the riches of these things, if he bowed down to Satan, that was a temptation right there. So he could have done it because he had free will. And also, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he said, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." I don't know about you, but I'm grateful that he let God's will be done. That's what I was trying to say. I was trying to find all these different words. But basically, Jesus let God's will be done. I'm grateful. Jesus was 100% man, and he was 100% God. That's why he could walk a long distance and get really tired, because he lived in a physical body. He was walking one time. That's when he sat in Samaria. He met the woman at the well, because he sat down and rested at the well. But he was 100% God as well. But our finite mind cannot understand all that. But it's okay, because there's a lot of things in the Bible we're not going to totally understand, because we can't. It's impossible. We just have to grasp it by faith, believe it, because it's his word, and his word is the final authority. And Jesus, he dealt with thoughts, and I'm sure that when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, thinking, "Oh my goodness, they're going to be pulling out my beard, they're going to be whipping me, punching me, and a cat of nine tails with glass and bones, and they rip it out my skin, and then I'm going to have to drag that cross. The splinters are going to get in my back, and I'm going to, not only that, I'm going to be nailed to the cross, and when I want to take a breath, I'm going to have to stretch up on my already nailed feet that are nailed together, and then I'm going to have to sag back down." So every time he took a breath, he had to basically stand on tippy toes, which was excruciating, and then you have to go back down again. So I'm sure that he thought all these thoughts. I'm sure his flesh did as well. And he's like, "Do I really want to do this? I don't know if I want to do this." And I'm sure he was tempted in all kinds of ways. And he dealt with emotions as well. He got angry at the money changers And he made a whip. Do you know how much time it takes to make a whip? It takes time to actually go out and hand make a whip. That's how angry he was. But he went out and he made a whip, and he turned over the tables of the money changers. He had anger, and he also, after he found out Lazarus died, he wept. So he dealt with. The Bible says we do not have a high priest who is not unfamiliar with the feelings of our infirmities, our pains, you know. I have to look that scripture up too when we're on a song break. So it's not like I have a co-host here that I can just say, hey, what do you think about that while I look up a scripture? Because I actually do a lot of things when I am... I'm going to add another 30 minutes. But I do a lot of things here at the studio. I may take all of this 30 minutes. I may just take some of it, but I want to add some because otherwise I would have only had 13 minutes left. But I do actually a lot of things when I'm here. I look up scriptures. I run the chat room. I promote. I let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Blog Talk Radio that I'm live. And then I like I said, I look up scriptures. I play the audios. I look for the audios, especially if it's one that... I'm not exactly sure which one is going to be, and so. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to play a song so I can look up those scriptures, and I will be right back with you. You enjoy this? It was one of my favorite songs. Of course, I could say that about a lot of them. It's by Zachary Smith. It's called "Realms of Glory."
Lord, let me live. drunk on your new wine, Lord. Intoxicated with a pure heart, set apart, consecrated. Drunk on your new wine, Lord. Intoxicated, all I want. Jesus, my first love. All I want, Jesus, I worship you. All I want is you. Lord, let me live. Lord, let me live. Let me live long. Wrapped up, Lord, let me be. Oh, Lord, let me be forever, Lord. Forever, Lord. Your hiding place, secret place.
Jesus, and let's see here. we can look in is actually in Matthew, and let's see, Matthew 4:8. Can go there. Jesus said to him, on the other hand, it is... this is part of the temptation. Jesus is in the... You could probably start at chapter 4. Just the whole chapter started and look in there for all of it. It says, Jesus said to him, on the other hand, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Talk about arrogant. This is Satan. Jesus made him. I mean, God made him, and he wants Jesus to fall down and worship him. He knew if he did, it'd be over. And it says right here, it says, mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And then he said, all these things I will give you. And did he have the authority to give him did Satan have the authority to give all the kingdoms of the world and their glory to Jesus? Yes, he did. Because Adam and Eve, through their sin, turned the authority over to Satan. So in all of that, Jesus could have given in, and he could have given in to that temptation. But he could have given it into it and said yes, but he didn't. It's also in Luke 4, verse 5. It's just look through those scriptures and I encourage you to do some research on that as well on your own to get a bit more of it. You know, a bit more info besides a couple of verses. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16, it reads, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace and to help in time of need. So he's not unfamiliar with our... Like I said earlier, he had emotions and he's not unfamiliar with, he's very familiar with our weakness. And let's see here, carrying on. I'm grateful that Jesus, I am truly, truly grateful. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for being obedient to the point of death, even death upon a cross. And that's one of the most horrific things to have to endure right there. And Satan, he tried to exalt himself, as I was stating earlier, and that he tried to exalt himself above God's authority while he was in heaven, while he was living in heaven with God. He was living, Lucifer was living in heaven with God. He tried to exalt himself above God's authority. And he did not recognize or submit to God's authority. In Luke 10:18, see, God took care of that, though. He took care of Lucifer's rebellion, his pride, and his him thinking that he would exalt himself above God and that he would take over heaven, him and the and one third of the angels innumerable that he deceived. In Luke 10:18 it says, "And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven." Satan, he was cast out. He was cast out of heaven. And that was the end of it. Well, at least temporarily the end of it. He's going to later on be thrown into the lake of fire for eternity. Jesus joined himself to God, his Father, by his word. In John 10:30, says, "I and my Father are one." If someone came against Jesus, they came against God as well, because God and him and his Father are one. God was the one that Jesus represented. Look at it this way. There's an ambassador of a nation, and they're living in another country at the embassy or someplace like that. If you attack that ambassador of another nation, or even if they're visiting another nation and you attack them, it's as if you are attacking the president or the king of that country. It's the same for us. If we are attacked by someone, it's the same. Because we're ambassadors of Christ. He's pleading the case through us, the case for salvation, the case for love. So, and if we're attacked, then it's the same as attacking God. We need to be respectful of others, whether or not they agree with us, whether or not they're of another country, nationality, color, creed, religion, or whatever the case may be. We need to be respectful and show respect and love toward that person. And that's, you know, even if they're ambassador, whoever they are. As you walk in authority, it doesn't mean, as you continue to walk in authority and you start to learn your authority, who you are in Christ, it doesn't mean that you're walking in arrogance. So it's just not like, oh, hey, you know, I've got all this authority about this, that, and the other. I can cast out devils. Where the disciples came back to Jesus and they said, we cast this devil out, and they were all excited about it because they got to cast the devil out. And Jesus said to them, don't be, I'm going to look that scripture up as well, but basically don't rejoice that you can cast out devils, but rejoice that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So that was, don't rejoice that the devils are subject to you, basically. I'm looking it up right now. Let's see, don't rejoice that the devils, let's see, I'm trying to look it up on Google. And it says, okay, Luke 10:20. "Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will injure you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven." Praise God. Hallelujah. That's exciting. Excuse me, it's just pollen. We need to learn etiquette. And it's actually so important to learn etiquette. I was learning etiquette and manners at a young age, and I feel like it's a dying breed almost. But I may actually do, it's a big May in capitals here, but I may do a show on that sometime, on etiquette. I'm not sure how it's all going to work out, but I think it's important. To me it is anyway, that and chivalry, being a gentleman, opening car doors and just doors, period, just all kinds of stuff there, but that'll take me on another subject here. But we need to learn to be polite, and we need to learn etiquette if we've not already been taught it. And we also need to learn how to, excuse me, talk to people with kindness and not with kindness and love, but not just to those people, not just talk like that to people who are over us, who are above us, like maybe our employer or something like that, but also those who are under us, maybe people we manage. That's just an example. It could be any situation. And we need to learn how to treat and talk to everyone as Jesus would talk to them and treat them. And remember, when you're out witnessing to people, that kindness is a big tool too, because it is a fruit of the Spirit. Never get past the fruit of Spirit of kindness. We have to keep cultivating the fruits of the Spirit. Any fruit of the Spirit that we're not perfected yet. Not that they're perfect, but maybe patience is not. You say patience is not my virtue. Well, we just cultivate that, and because you and I must walk in the fruit of the Spirit when we are born again. And I feel led to actually, if you've not been born again and have Jesus in your heart, I want to tell you right now, if you died right now, do you know for sure, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that you would go to heaven? God loves you so much, has a great plan for your life. The Holy Bible says that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And whoever calls upon his name shall be saved. So if you want to make sure you're going to go to heaven, mean this with your heart, repeat after me. Just say, Dear Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. Wash me and cleanse me. Set me free. Jesus, I believe that you died for me. I believe that you are coming back again for me. Well, Jesus, I believe that you died for me. I believe that you rose from the dead and are coming back again for me. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Give me a passion for the lost, a hunger for the things of God, and a holy boldness to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I am saved. I am born again. I am forgiven. And I'm on my way to heaven because I have Jesus in my heart. Amen. So I want to tell you right now, as the minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, I tell you today, tonight, whatever time zone you're listening to from, your sins are forgiven you right now. Be filled with the peace and the joy and the love of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and this fellowship. And know that you are born again, so you are now going to be walking in the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is a characteristic of the life of the believer. So it's a characteristic. And those who walk in great authority show mercy, kindness. Learn to walk in the fruit of the Spirit because you walk in the gifts of the Spirit then also. And I'm going to be doing a show on, I'm not sure when, but at some point I'm going to be doing a show on our teaching on the fruit of the Spirit and also the gifts of the Spirit. And fruit is bitter if you do not walk in the fruits of the Spirit, if you don't cultivate it and you don't, then your fruit is bitter because you're not cultivating the fruit of the Spirit. And only do, so I'm going to actually, it's in the book of Galatians. Some of you may be wondering, because I know I have people who listen, for different reasons. They may be searching for something. They may not know exactly. They're just searching different religions, just different theories, different things, and they're searching for the truth. So I'm not going to assume that you know what the fruit of the Spirit is. I'm going to tell you what it is as soon as I find it. I know it's in Galatians, the book of Galatians. So I'm going to go here and, oh, here we are, let me see. I'm Galatians 5:22-23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering or patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, control. Against such there is no law. So some, you just have to make yourself be patient and say to yourself, calm down, breathe, again, breathe. So if you have, you know, a problem with self-control or being angry or something like that, and just or patience, just make yourself be patient. And you have to just make yourself do it, cultivate it. And be gentle. Even if you're a man, you think you're a tough one, you just need to be gentle. And goodness is, I mean, a good person. We need to be good people. Everything about us to be good and humble, be humble. Jesus, when he was on earth, he did not come up with his own agenda. In John 5:30, it says, I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. And as I said earlier, Jesus was an ambassador of God on a mission from God. What has God called you to do? What has God called you to do today? Jesus knew God was backing his position with him. In John 8:24, it reads, therefore, I said to you that you will die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. And I'm going to be, I'm going to be closing here with a couple of last-minute thoughts, not last-minute, but a couple of last thoughts here for this lesson anyway. Jesus will honor you, and he will back you up. He will show up, and he will just give you a party, because he will show up. And the best way to be honored by our precious God is by him showing up with his wonderful presence. When Jesus shows up, heaven, all of heaven shows up. Nothing else has to be done on your part. When the Holy Spirit shows up, his presence, you don't have to do anything else. You step aside, let him take over. If you honor his word, He will show up and honor you. Because he, what's that I'm trying to say? He, the word that has been spoken, then he shows up with signs following that word to back up that word. So when you're submitted to the plan, will, and purpose of God, he honors you by showing up. That's exciting. So we just need to just honor him too, and he is definitely worthy of that. And authority is in submission. There is an authority. That's what I was trying to say. There is authority. It may sound strange, but there is actually authority in submission. You are actually taking authority by submitting to authority. Jesus ministered in authority. And Jesus taught with authority. Jesus commanded demons. Jesus commanded nature. Jesus commanded healing. Finally, the last couple of thoughts here, Jesus commanded miracles. And finally, Jesus, hallelujah, defeated Satan. Made a public spectacle of him. He defeated Satan. So I am grateful that he defeated him. I really am. So I will pick up next time with the next part 5, which will be next Saturday. I'm gonna try and record some of these ahead of time, so I have several of them recorded ahead of time that I can just upload and have them available to you to just listen to. Of course, I will try to have them uploaded at, of course, the same time. And my apologies, I know it's a good thing to be consistent, especially with time. And I understand that this last week, things were different, but I haven't always been consistent these last couple of weeks with the time. And normally my show is at 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, Friday, Saturday, and on Monday. But I have not been consistent with that, so I do apologize, and I'm going to try and be more consistent, just being real with you and just being transparent. So I'm going to, and also the, what was it, treasure, and that's what we're doing this month, is my treasure. I am going to record that. I'm going to upload that sometime before it's, before the next one is due this coming Friday, so we can get caught up with that. So I do apologize for that. I'm going to try and do better. Just be consistent with that time, because consistency is very important when it comes to this. Or you're going to wonder, is she having the show at 8? Is she having it at 8:30? Is she having it at 7? Is she having it at 9? Is she having it at 10? When is she going to have the show? So it's really better to have it just at one time. So I thought I would apologize for that. I want to let you know about a great school. It's a Bible college. It's River Bible Institute, River School of Worship, and River School of Government. The next intake is this coming August. It's going to be, before you know it, time is passing by. My goodness, it's almost the end of March. So before you know it, it'll be here. But if you want any information, go to riverbibleinstitute.com. RiverSchoolOfWorship.com, RiverSchoolOfGovernment.com, I have been authorized to give you a scholarship to the River Bible Institute and the River School of Worship. At this time, they're not giving scholarships for the River School of Government, but don't let that stop you. The Holy Ghost called you. He'll provide. He'll make a way. He will definitely, definitely make a way. Definitely. So I just want to let you know about that. And if you know of anybody that has a call of God on their life, I authorize you, and I have been given the authority to give you that authority to give them a scholarship. So you can give them a scholarship, and they can give somebody else a scholarship, then they can give somebody a scholarship, and it keeps going and going and going. It's a ripple effect. So it's really, really exciting. I'm excited to be able to give you that. Also, if you have any prayer requests, feel free to email me at firetalkradio2@yahoo.com. That is firetalkradio2@yahoo.com. That's the number 2 in there. Also, I'd love to have you follow me on my homepage at blogtalkradio.com/ Fire Talk Radio 2. Also, check out and like my Facebook page at facebook.com/ Fire Talk Radio 2. And a disclaimer, quick disclaimer, the comments and opinions expressed during Blog Talk Radio commercials and ads do not necessarily reflect that of myself or my Christian beliefs, especially the new ads promoting the consumption of alcohol. So I wanted to throw that out there. That ouch. And if you want to call for prayer, call 866-857-4837. That is 866-857-4837. And if you're anywhere in the Central Florida area and you would like to go to church, you're more than welcome to visit the River at Tampa Bay Church. Services are Sunday morning. That's tomorrow at That is tomorrow at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And also, that will be 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And then it will be Wednesday at 7 p.m. And this Wednesday coming up, March 25th, our president of Revival Ministries International, Pastor Rodney Howard Brown, will be giving a State of the Union broadcast. It's Wednesday, this coming Wednesday, March 25th at 7:30 p.m. Love to have you join, come in person. If you can't come in person, then feel free to watch online at revival.com. That's R-E-V, like Victor, I-V-A-L.com. You can watch the services as well live online. So feel free to do that. And let me see, is there anything I have forgotten to tell you, any announcements-wise? I think that's everything. If I have forgotten, then I will find a way to put it out there. But I want to let you know that you are loved by God. You are loved by me. You are special. You're priceless. You're accepted in the Beloved. And until we meet again, may God hold you in the palm of His hand and envelop you in His love.